All right, guys, welcome to episode two of the You're Trash podcast. Again, this is Robert. Well, where to start this week? Shit. Let me tell you about a little plan that I've been having in the works for a little while. It is a known fact. Fact. Truth, not fake news, a true fact that no man wants to go grocery shopping. Excuse me. This is just true. There is no man that likes doing this. My wife is a saint, okay? Has nothing to do with her. It has a little to do with her, but it has just very little. I just don't want to go grocery shopping. There's several things that get under my skin when it comes to getting groceries. First of all, the store that we go grocery shopping in, it's all the way across town. So now we've got to drive all the way across town just to do this thing. Because we're driving all the way across town to do this one thing, there's other things that get piled on top of it because, hey, we're already over there. So on our way back or on our way there, we can do these four other things. So it's a gateway drug is what it is. It's a gateway drug to shit I don't want to do. Then you have parking. And this isn't a normal parking situation. When you're parking with people that are grocery shopping, you're parking next to these trashy families, these just idiots. And then you see people walking through the parking lot happy. It's like a young couple holding hands, they're like skipping into the grocery store. It might be their first time getting groceries together. So they're like bonding and really testing the limits of their relationship. Trying new things, taking big steps. Well, fuck all that. I hate seeing them. I hate seeing the joy on their face. Like I get fucking stomach ache, my head starts spinning, I start feeling dizzy. It's just so many people. Walk in, which brings me to the next part. You walk in, it's just full of people. It's full of people that I, for some reason, hate. I don't know why, and I shouldn't. I shouldn't feel like this, but I do feel like this. I just dislike, at best, I dislike everybody. And at worst, which I tend to be, and anyone knows me knows this, toward the worst scale. Excuse me. I tend to be on the worst, and I hate them. I just hate them. Hate everything about you. See the weirdest people grocery shopping, making the weirdest faces, weirdest noises. All I see is women grocery shopping, and then men who are forced to go grocery shopping with them. Or I see men alone grocery shopping, and they're the weirdest people. So we're at the grocery store, and now we have to decide what we want. And my wife will ask me things like, I think they're questions designed to express disgust at me as a human. She'll ask me things that are poking holes in my self-esteem. Things like, you want to get any more vegetables? And I say, nope. But then she just looks at me and like, yeah, I know I should eat more vegetables. Fuck. What the fuck am I gonna eat? I'll eat some broccoli and some green beans. I'm like, how about broccoli, green beans, and asparagus? That would be nice. Blah, blah, blah. I go get these things. I know the whole time I'm not gonna eat this shit. This is food that I'm buying just to go bad. God, what is going on with my throat today? That's all it's there for. It's there to spoil in the fridge, and as it's spoiling and rotting away, it's just staring at me like, you fat fuck, you should have eaten me. Now look at me. Fucking withering away. I'm secreting all this rot juice. I'm just gonna make your fridge smell bad because you're a fat piece of shit. That's what you are. I'm disappointed in you. Not mad, just disappointed. And that's what bothers me about vegetables, is that they go bad fast, and I don't like them. But I know I should eat them. And then they haunt me. They haunt my existence while they're in the fridge, making my fridge smell like bullshit. Then you go to the grocery store. You get to my favorite section, which is meat. And I'm just having a heyday. You know, that's where I can enjoy myself. I go get some yogurts. I really love yogurt. Get some bread. By this time, I just want to leave. But no, I got to stand in line. And there's always that one person or couple that you saw when you first got into the grocery store. And you see them the whole time. It's like they're following you around. It's like this person you see 3 or 4 times. And then when you get in line, they're right behind you or right in front of you. It's just weird. I don't like it. I don't even like seeing people I know at the grocery store. Well, anyway, so that's what I don't like about it. Here was my plan. Like any good operation, this plan has several stages. The first stage was to bag incorrectly. So I would put the eggs at the bottom, the bread at the bottom. I would put household cleaners in with food. I would do all sorts of shit that drove my wife crazy. So I got banned from bagging. But I still had to go because now my job is to pay and we get like a 2-cent discount per bag that we use that isn't a plastic grocery bag. So my job is to do that. Inform the cashier, pay for the food. I started leaving my wallet at home, which brings me to stage 2, insufficient funds. If I leave my wallet at home, now I can't do my primary job. So I started doing that. Well, she figured that out, started bringing my wallet for me or reminding me. Third thing that I did, because now I have to go. Can't bag, but I do have to pay. And if I leave my wallet at home, she's going to remember for me. Stage 3 is act irresponsibly, which is if I know we're going grocery shopping, I'll do anything to avoid it. One time I got drunk in the morning thinking she wouldn't take me because I was so drunk. It was like 10 a.m. and I was just pounding beers. Got up early, snuck out of bed, 7 a.m. on a Saturday or a Sunday. You know what I mean? My day off and I'm waking up early on purpose just to get drunk so she wouldn't take me. She still took my drunk ass. And you ever done a chore drunk? It's exhausting. God, I felt like I was sweating the whole time. I was like, geez. Then I had to go take a shit at the grocery store. And it's the worst experience, taking a shit somewhere you should not be shitting. God, I don't know. Yeah. It's one of the worst places to shit, the grocery store. I don't know what it is, but every grocery store is just bottom of the barrel when it comes to bathroom situations. So, there's that. I also have decided to enact the next stage. Now, this is the last stage. And if I can't get out of it this way, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm just going to steal. I'm just going to steal something from the store, and they're going to 86 me. I talked to my mom about this. My mom does not recommend this. She says I'm going to go to jail, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm a citizen now, Mom. They can't deport me. So I'm about to eat this misdemeanor so that I can get out of this forever. She insists that I could just talk to my wife and tell her I don't want to. But it's not going to happen. Nah, that's for losers. So that's my next plan. If that doesn't work, I'm going to have to go full retard and just like shit myself in the store, piss myself, something like that. Piss on the floor, get caught doing it. That'll get me on the registry as a sexual offender. If I get caught, you know, that's considered, I think, a lewd act in public. There'll be lots of kids around, so no matter what, I'll be screwed. And so that's what I'm trying to avoid. So, and on top of all that, today, actually, as I'm recording this today, I had to go to the dentist. I hadn't been to the dentist in, wait for it, 18 years. The last time I was at the dentist, the guy made me feel like shit, and he had an attitude while he was fucking with my teeth. And I got pissed and I pushed him off me and then stormed out of the place. My mom was there. She was mad as hell. And never went back. And that's when I was 19. So here I am. I'm going to be turning 37 this July. And just went to the dentist. And guess what? Guess what this motherfucker said? My mouth is in pretty good shape considering. That's great. I got two teeth I got to get taken out. And I got a crown I need to put on one of my teeth. Other than that, I just need to floss more. He asked me, how much would you say you floss? And I said, oh, never. As a rule, I just don't floss. He's like, well, that would explain a few things. So I got to start doing that. And I have a cleaning scheduled for 420. Hell yeah. That's going to be sweet. Not a big weed smoker, but I will just drown myself in CBD drops, which if any of you guys ever deal with anxiety of any sort, or some days you just kind of want to relax, I would highly recommend Bluebird Botanicals hemp oil. It's great. No THC, very small trace amounts, high on the CBD, put a few drops under your tongue, let it absorb for a few minutes. You'll be feeling great in no time. Helps me with all sorts of stuff. I've been using it a lot just for pain. I've been having this foot pain, which is a whole nother fucking story. God damn it. And it's been great. I use it and it's fun. And it won't make you feel high or anything. It just kind of calms you down, relaxes your body, makes you feel good, makes you feel nice and tingly. So that's my day in my last week. Last time we left off, I was talking to you guys about my visit to Croatia in 2010. This was a great time, and I found a bomb under my grandfather's car. Saw a guy drop dead in front of me, who turned out to be my cousin's, some distant cousin's best friend. Yeah, it was amazing. Now I want to talk to you about a little situation that happened to me. I think last time I did mention these zebra stripe mosquitoes. And I want to talk about socialism and healthcare real quick. There's a lot of people in this country that think that socialism is a great idea. And you know what? Be worth a shot, I guess. I'm not a fan of it. My whole family grew up in it. I experienced some of it as a kid. And then in 2010, when I went back, I experienced some more of it, specifically in the healthcare context. Here's what happens. I get bit by these fucking zebra stripe mosquitoes. I'm sleeping in a room at my grandparents' house. Very classic Eastern European home. Red tile roof. They have coolers in the walls. Anyway, I go upstairs, time for bed. It's hot as hell. It's humid as shit over there. It's like 100% humidity. We live in a town called Zadar. Z-A-D-A-R. You would pronounce it Zadar, Zadar, whatever you dumb fucks say. American shits. Whatever you say, you fuckers. And yeah, it's so hot. So we have a screen. So I want to put the screen down so mosquitoes don't come in. Now, the screen doesn't just like slide over horizontally. It actually comes down vertically from the top of the door, the door to the balcony in this room. But you got to put it down just right. Because if you don't get it to like lock in place, you'll go to lay back down and it'll just snap up full speed. And it'll sound like someone just slapped you with a stick of butter. It's just the craziest noise in the world. And it'll wake up the whole damn house. So this happens to me 5 or 6 times in the middle of the night. And people are starting to wake up. My sister's banging from the other room like, what the fuck? Of course, my wife's just laying in bed going like, shit, you can't do anything right. And, you know, I feel like a disappointment as a husband, as a you know, a partner in life. So I finally get it to close, and it does it again. And I'm like, I don't even care. And I go to sleep. It's so hot. You know, it's so hot to the point where you take off all your clothes and you're still hot. You can't have any covers on you. And I'm just uncomfortable if I don't have something on me. Just can't really get to sleep that well. So I wake up in the morning, I got a million bug bites on me. These zebra stripe mosquitoes are everywhere. I try to kill as many as I can. It's fucking horrible. Which I found a life hack recently. I was reading online somewhere that if you just set up an oscillating fan near a window or a door, mosquitoes just are not very good at flying. So that wind just throws them off enough that they have no interest in trying to fight against it. So I should have done that. Motherfucker. So mad when I read that. But very thankful for the information. I started getting a rash on my arms and my legs from these bug bites. Because, you know, I'm one of those people that just scratches the shit out of my skin. I act like if I had a cheese grater, that would have been the best. I would use one of those electric carving knives. God, I'm a fucking animal when it comes to them. So I end up getting this rash that spreads on my arm and everywhere. And I think it's from mosquito bites. My cousin, Ivan is his name. He said, you just go to clinic, Robert. Go to the clinic. It'd be amazing. I will go with you. And it'll be fine. Free healthcare. This is socialism, my friend. I'm like, yeah, let's check this out. We're in a room, rather stuffy, hot, no sort of cooling happening. In front of me, so I'm on a bench, and there's people next to me, and in front of me, two big metal doors. And I figured it's one of those things where, like, oh, we just need to check in or take a number or something. And he's like, no, Robert, when those metal doors open, you run. Be the first one there. And I was like, what? Are you serious right now? Yeah, just be the first one. Gotta run. Can you run? And I was like, yeah, I can run, but I wasn't planning on it. All right, let's do this. We open the door. There's two young Croatian nurses, very young. I run to that door like I've never ran before. They asked me what's going on. I let them know, you know, I got this rash all over my fucking body from these fucking zebra mosquitoes. They say something about those mosquitoes came here from Australia or something. I'm like, yeah, whatever. you just figure this shit out. So they told me, you know, we're going to give you a shot in your ass. So we need you to take your pants and your underwear off. I didn't understand that. Can I just show you my ass? Then do you know that these bitches gave me a shot in my lower back? Like, I could have just lifted up my shirt. Why am I standing here with my dick and balls out and you're just giving me a shot in my lower back? Driving me crazy. I think it's just designed to embarrass you. They gave me the shot. Then afterwards, after they already gave me a shot, they said, this is very strong antibiotic. You cannot take another antibiotic for 3 years. I was all, 3 years? Holy shit. And I had to go to the pharmacist to get some ointment for my skin. That was also antibiotic. I asked my cousin, where's the pharmacy? What pharmacy do I go to? He's all, oh, we go to pharmacy in my building. And I was like, oh, that's pretty handy. You got a little pharmacist living right in your building. He knocks on the door. Woman's there. She asks for the script. We go in and we have some coffee and eat some cookies while she gets the cream ready. I'm just sitting on some bitch's couch eating her cookies and they're drinking her coffee. That was my favorite part of the whole thing, because by far I hate going into these grocery stores, these little mini marts that have a pharmacy, which is what CVS and Walgreens are. They're glorified mini marts with a pharmacist in the back. And you go in there and you give them your shit, you know, they type all the shit in, you gotta pay a certain way, there's always some mix up with your insurance, they gotta like call somebody and they're like, be back in an hour. And, you know, you just gotta roam around this store, or you gotta go home and then come all the way back. Or you gotta busy yourself with other errands. Oh, probably go grocery shopping, you know, why not? Why not waste your fucking time? And you get back, and then you get there. No one's offering you coffee. No one's offering you cookies. And you don't get to sit on a plastic covered couch. That's all I'm saying, is we could make the experience a little better. There's something to be learned from socialism. So I get this ointment and I start rubbing myself down. Do you know that this rash, I was dealing with this rash for a year. And then when we left Croatia, we had just moved. What happened is we just moved to the East Coast from Northern California. So then we went on this trip to Europe for a month. So when we came back, that was the start of us living on the East Coast, which I love. Love the East Coast. I love where we were living. We were living right outside Philadelphia. Go Birds. We did it this year. Won the Super Bowl fucking finally. Yeah, I love that place. It's a great place to live. People are good. It's a little expensive to live there. New Jersey is fucking taxed to shit. It's insane. They got a tax on sun tanning. You want to go tanning, be a Guido and tan yourself in a tanning booth? Or you're gonna pay a Guido tax for tanning. Gym tan laundry. They don't have any empathy for us. Guidos. And yeah, so that was my life. Croatia otherwise, not a bad time. Went to the beach a lot. We went to this one beach that had a big mud pit near it. And you saw a bunch of people putting fucking mud all over their face and their body. And I asked my cousin what was going on. He said that they think that the mud heals them or something spiritual. I'm telling you, man, Croatian women, they fall for it. I feel like they fall for shit. Like there's an epidemic of falling for bullshit. This is where Croatia is the country where there's a guy. I forget this motherfucker's name, but he will just stare at you, right? And his stare heals people. Like people actually believe they go into trances and all this stuff because he's staring at them. Holy shit. And so they have these conferences where he is just him on stage and he just stares at people in the crowd and people have these divine experiences. This guy is making money from staring at people. There's videos of him just staring that you can find. I'm gonna need to post a link at some point somewhere. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do that or where I'm going to do that, but I'm going to have to post a video, I think, on my Facebook of this dude just staring at people. It's the wackiest shit you'll ever see. But Croatians fall for it. Lots of people fall for it, but I feel like Croatians, when I was there, I just saw them falling for shit so much. It was insane. And my grandfather, though, will not fall for it. He is a hardline Serb who doesn't give a shit if you could heal him or not. He's living his life and you better just fucking deal with it. Great dude. I love talking to my grandfather. We Skyped recently and he had just learned that, how to point the computer so I don't see the top corner of his head and then his ceiling. So I'm pretty excited about that. That is a great time. When you get to actually see the person you're talking to, what do I feel like? Well, I feel like that's how it is with the older generation. It's just computers and webcams are not their shit yet. But it reminds me of when we were there. Me and my sister are coming from a technological mecca. You don't realize it until you go somewhere else that the U.S. has a bunch. I mean, unless you're going to somewhere like Japan or something where there's just lots of technology everywhere. They got more technology in their shitters than we do in an Apple store or something. You don't realize in other countries, especially Eastern Europe, they're so far behind. We get there, and me and my sister are like, man, we just want to listen to some music. How about some, because we kind of grew up listening to some some Croatian like folk music and rock music from the 80s, 70s and 80s. And we actually liked it. There was this band, Bijelo Dugme, which means white button in English. And they were great. I really loved them. They have a good mix of like, kind of like, some of it even reminds me of like Bon Jovi or something, rock. But then there's also like some old classic, old traditional, like Croatian folk kind of songs. It's really good. But we want to listen to this pop star, this Serbian pop star, Severina. We really want to listen to some of her music. We were just in the mood for some pop. And I asked my grandfather, hey, you got any Severina in that computer? And he's like, oh, yeah. I have all her music on my computer. And I was like, all of it? You got any music you want? It's on the computer. And I was like, holy shit, this dude's a fucking audiophile, huh? Well, let's figure this shit out. What do you got, Severina? How about Severina? He's like, okay, go to www.youtube. And I'm like, oh no. Me and my sister look at each other and we just realized this motherfucker thinks that YouTube is his music collection. So, you know, then you have to decide in your brain, do we break the news to him? Or do we leave him alone into thinking that YouTube is his collection of music? Probably someone told him when they were setting up the computer, you want to listen to any music? You got all of it. Just go to YouTube. So I think I tried to explain it to him, if I remember correctly. I tried to explain, that's not your music. That's just videos that people put up. And he was like, who put it up? I said, I don't know. Some people, you know, different people all the time. They take the music, they find a video for it, they make a video for it with the lyrics. Who knows? It's all different kinds of videos and they put it up. But it's not your music. And he's like, yes, it's on my computer. And I said, no. Ah, shit. No, it's not. It's it's a website that has videos. We just weren't getting anywhere. So finally, I think it's just now less trouble just to be like, yeah, that's right. That's all your music. Uh-huh. It's completely true. Yeah, I don't understand it either. I don't know how you're supposed to actually live your life and have a conversation with these people. Some people just don't get it. And you know, what boggles my mind is people that are so confident that they know exactly what's going on. And that's how he is. He's 100% confident that YouTube is like just a place where he goes on his computer to access all the music he owns. And he owns all of it. Anything you can find, anything you could search for and it shows up, that means he has it. Oh man, it's mind-boggling. So, YouTube, we listen to Severina, we have a good time. There's a knock on the door. We open the door, and it's probably one of the biggest fucking people I've ever seen. Just he's like 6'5", 6'6". And just a thick-looking dude. And immediately when he started talking, saying hello, I knew that he was touched. He had a little bit of a touch, if you know what I mean. He was a little slow. Touched is my new favorite way of saying this because I'm trying to steer away from saying retarded or, you know, I find all those other phrases that are politically correct to be beating around the bush about what I'm saying. We all understand it's the same thing. And then someone decides that they're going to be offended by it. And that person is never retarded that's offended by it. I know I used to work with people who had Down syndrome autism for a long time. They use the R word more than any of us. And then to call each other retarded, they'd say, I'm not retarded as him. I really enjoyed that. So touched is my favorite way to say this. Now, it's funny because I asked my grandma, like, oh, who's this? And she's like, oh, this is your I forget what it even was. Second cousin, uncle, great uncle. I don't know who he was. And he died shortly after we saw him. You know, they people like that, they don't live that long. There's a lot of factors, you know. And but you know, she said, "Oh, this is your second cousin." And then she leaned in and said this phrase. I don't remember the phrase exactly. But I do know, translated, that it's something to the tune of his brain is incorrect. Oh, it still makes me laugh thinking about it. His brain's incorrect. Like his brain was being put together, and somebody's like, "Man, I think I fucked this up. Let's see what happens," and just sent it along anyway. Oh man, I can't. It's amazing. His brain's incorrect. Okay. And the weird thing was, so my dad, my grandfather, and this guy, they all have the same shaped head. Normal head in the front, and then in the back, it's like really flat. And we always make fun of them for it. You know, you guys have like those fucking Serbian heads. And they said, like, "Oh, that's because that those generations, you know, they were still sleeping outside with their head against the rock." I just found it to be so hilarious. This guy had the same shaped head. It was hilarious. He just reminded me of like the Serbian version of Lenny from Mice and Men. Like, I just imagine this guy had killed a few rabbits because he just was petting them so fucking hard. It was amazing. But anyway, great time in Croatia. Otherwise, of all these crazy events, and I don't even feel like I've covered a week yet out of a month that I'm there. It's crazy. There's so much shit that happens to you when you're Euro trash. So much shit, and it's caused just by the culture that you live in. And it doesn't have to just be Euro trash. Filipinos. I remember this Filipino guy that we worked with for a little while. He was a temp. He's got his headphones in on break, sitting at the table with us, and his face is very excited. Like, he's obviously watching something he's really into on this phone. And I asked him what he's watching. This motherfucker's watching a cockfight. He was watching a cockfight on YouTube. And I was like, damn, this guy's Filipino as hell. There's no one more Filipino than an old Filipino dude watching cockfight on his phone on his break at work. That's Filipino as fuck. Like, so crazy. And he was really into cockfights. He enjoyed it. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm watching this cockfight. This one guy, he's a champion cockfighter." I was like, "Holy shit, what does he do? Just doesn't he just let the rooster loose?" I don't understand it. But you know, every culture has the segment of kind of like my version of Euro trash. It's not even necessarily trashy. It's just this kind of like aggressive, kind of rednecky, but also just like don't give a fuck attitude. I guess it is trashy. I don't know what I'm saying. It is trashy. It's your trash. And my family was kind of like that, but you know, and it was funny, the people in the family who didn't think they were that felt like they were like the classy ones, you know. And that's the thing about Croatians and Serbians. They all talk like they're 100% confident that the way they think it is the way it is. And it's irritating for everybody else. I remember my family coming over for Thanksgiving. My wife spent all this time cooking all this food, and my dad ate it, and he's very picky about what he eats, and he ate all this American turkey shit and Thanksgiving shit. And then afterwards, people were saying thank you. And my dad made a point to say that he believes that thank you means the same thing as fuck you in America, because everyone says it all the time. It doesn't mean shit anymore. Might as well just be saying fuck you. And I know that one thing my wife would have liked was to hear thank you. And he would just would not. He wouldn't do it. No, it doesn't mean shit. was like, I know, man, but maybe. Anyway, so it was very frustrating for her. Now, I agree with my dad to a point. We say thank you all the damn time. We need to shut the fuck up about thank you. But probably at a Thanksgiving dinner when someone's cooked you a bunch of food, maybe that's when you say thank you. Could be. Yeah, just a thought. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing your guys' comments and messages about maybe you know somebody who's a little trashy, he's got some stories. We could do an interview, have some guest spots. Trying to get one of my good friends, Frank, in here. He grew up with a Portuguese dad. His family's half Portuguese. The Portuguese, they're another fucking gem in Europe. God damn it. Those fucking swine. They're great people. So that'd be good to have him on. Talk about that. Otherwise, I'm going to call it a day. Have fun, guys. Keep it real. And maybe I'll leave you today with a little life lesson. Maybe a little mantra for your week, which is, you know, when you experience something in life, you need to have the attitude of, hey, go fuck yourself. I'm serious. You know, when you tell something in your life to go fuck itself, it's a very confident stance you're taking. You know, and life starts taking you seriously. Like, oh, shit, this motherfucker told me to go fuck myself. This guy's for real. This chick's for real. And, you know, it makes a whole lot of difference. Every day when I wake up, I go, hey, life, why don't you go fuck yourself? I walk into my kitchen, start making myself breakfast. I'm like, hey, breakfast, why don't you go fuck yourself? I'm telling you, it's completely revolutionized my life. And I think it's something great that you could start doing. All right, that's it for me. I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully, we'll be having a guest co-host, or I'll just be talking more shit. See ya.